Now you said,
Not
I'm sorry, go ahead, say again, Michael.
yeah. I was wondering what the process was. You go through the negotiations, kind of then what? Do you bring it back to somebody here?
No, so when you say bring it, it's us. So we may come back and converse,
Among
amongst
yourselves.
us ourselves and make some decisions on what we will either agree on or negotiate. Once everything's agreed upon between us, the company, RTA, and the union, they have to ratify the agreement.
Sure, right.
So they have to get their members to vote on it to approve the agreement. And then once it's signed, then it's good. It's a
And
three-year
what,
agreement.
3 years then?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So leading on to our next section, maintenance. And again, this is the contributing factor to our on-time performance. We had really, really bad issues this past summer. We had issues with our AC, our brakes, and really our emission systems, even with the new buses. So we had 11,
That's what I ask you.
yeah, or we had 11 in spring of this year, and we've already had serious emission issues with our new buses. A lot of the work on our new buses are done under warranty, so it doesn't cost us anything. But the thing is, it's downtime. It impacts our
What's the
service.
problem with that? A new bus is having problems already. That's
I
not,
don't know,
I don't
but
like that.
what I would suggest is contact some other entities that have those and find out if the same issues happening. Yeah, so we've spoken to the vendor, and they're trying to do everything they can to work with us, and they're sending out texts, but it still doesn't help with downtime, because once the bus breaks down,
Right.
it's down. So even if they can get it up and send people out, it's already impacted us.
Do we have any recourse to the manufacturers for the downtime?
No, we do not. So we buy off.
Maybe we should think about that in the future.
Well, it's all stipulated within the, because we buy off the state. The state has a bus contract, so we don't do our own procurement. So it's whatever their terms are. Fortunately, I don't. We just had TAM, which is the Transit Association of Maryland, had their conference. The next bus contract that's coming online this winter are likely to have more than just one vendor, more than just this one vendor that we've been buying from, which is good. And the other vendors,
Who's the vendor?
ENC, so they're Eldorado. And there are two other vendors that are very, very, reputable vendors in terms of bus manufacturer. And we're happy to see that. So
Who are they?
we, Gillick and New Flyer. So we're excited to see that, because now we have options.
Yeah, they're both good companies.
Before, this was our only option with the state contract. As you probably, everybody has, heard about our mixed fleet and old buses, Dateline buses that we're trying to keep alive. So ENCs have kind of gotten us past that. We have a more of a streamlined fleet, but they're really, I believe they're really just medium duty buses. They sell as heavy duty, but they're not truly heavy duty buses. So
Is American Bus still
American Bus, yeah,
they're
trucking
doing
bus.
the New Flyer?
Yeah, no, I know they're doing my ENCs.
What?
ENCs, which is the Eldorados,
Oh,
which
okay.
is the current buses we
Now,
have.
what's the ballpark of a new fixed route bus cost? Just
So
ballpark.
500,000.
I'm just curious. They're selling us a product at 500,000, and less than a year later, we're having problems.
Well, these buses here were closer to 400. Their new bids, I suspect, are much higher now because the cost of parts and labor and all that. So when these buses were purchased, they're more low 400s.
And they're less than a year old.
Oh yeah, we got them in the spring.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous,
All right,
because
keep.
the life cycle on these buses are 12 years and 500,000 miles. So, we can't even, they're not even eligible for replacement until we hit that criteria. Yeah. No, it is troubling.
Is there any discussion for 12-year vehicles? And I know that when we first pitched to the counties, basically the 10-year lease agreement, so there was a residual that would be on these buses.
it would be 2 years, you know, that we supposedly would have residual value. And I was just thinking, has there been any discussion at all about rebuilds at 8 years?
I wouldn't probably do a rebuild on these ENCs.
Yeah, because usually it's about an 8 year, but I mean,
yeah,
getting the request into
so a rebuild, he's talking about, you know, rebuild completely rebuild.
Yeah, it's just going in there and doing what you got to do to try to make it as new as possible. That way, there's an extension of the life, okay, on the vehicle according to when the rebuild was done or whatever they refurbish and whatever they call them.
So usually it's about $70,000 to $100,000 to do that whole kind of rebuild. Exactly. Like I say, I've been holding up, wouldn't want to do it on the EMCs because their build isn't that, they're medium duty. I'm not gonna, right. I didn't want to invest $100,000 into a bus that's a medium duty. If it was a Gillig, they're really like workhorses, right. Then it's worth investing the money to extend the life.
What's that, 8 years now?
I think so. 7-8 years, yeah.
Okay, so everything else is the brake. These are all the components we're having issues with?
Yeah, yeah.
And these are on all the fleet-wide or the new ones? Or
no, some of them are on our cutaways. Some of them are on the older transit buses. So on our new buses, it's the AC was hitting just across the board. I mean, when we couldn't keep those ACs going. Once we get them out, they would falter again. But for the new ones, it's really the emission issues. The filters, there's a backlog to get big filters in for these to replace them on our new buses. So sometimes they sit down for a week at a time while we try to get filters.
Are we having any supply chain issues?
Yes. Well, according to our vendors, they're having supply chain issues. Yeah. So they can't get the parts. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we're hoping, you know, it turns around. So going on to planning and outreach. So we are at the tail end of our transit development plan, and Will from KFH later on in this meeting, he'll present the draft final of our TDP. Our APCs, our passenger automatic passenger counters, we have been approved by FTA to be able to use those. We are certified, you know, by FTA to use our APCs to do passenger counts and passenger miles traveled. That is awesome.
The NTD information, it's critical.
Yeah. And I believe, I could be wrong, we are probably the only one in the state right now that has certified their APs, our APCs.
Well, great.
Congratulations. You know, with FTA.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that took some doing. So Ryan kind of led that effort.
Way to go.
Yeah. Our automatic voice enunciator, I think I had announced that a while back that we successfully piloted on two vehicles. Since then, in the last several weeks, we have had them installed on all our vehicles now. So they are out in service.
Right, they've all been installed in all the vehicles.
Yeah,
we're getting a few more parts here and there just to tighten up on some of the software and hardware of them, but for the most part, they're in overactive patrol fleet.
So you'll have there's a visual display, LED display for whenever the bus approaches a stop, and then there's an audible announcement of the stop. So, and I think it also announces when the door opens, doors closed. Yeah.
And we're doing every stop.
We are doing every stop. We can customize it to do time points every stops, however we want to set it up.
Yeah.
The ADA requires it not to do every stop. They, you know, either have major intersections or time points. We are going beyond what the requirement is, and we're doing every stop. So we've got some really positive feedback from operators, right, Cole?
Yeah, a couple have already come to me and said, like, this is, like, really nice. It's really slick. Like, you know, passengers are giving positive feedback to operators. Operators, you know, it's out of their hands. They don't need to necessarily, like, you know, yell at the passengers on buses without microphones and all that. It's really, really going well.
Yeah.
Good. It sounds great.
Awesome. So, yeah. So what we've also done is we've started a pilot program with HC Howard County Public School System. to be able to buy student passes, free student passes on our mobile app. I think it's up and running. It's up and running. And if that works out well, you know, it takes, it uses their school ID or their school email domain for them to register and gain access to the free pass that's on the mobile app.
That's great.
And so we're kind of piloting that with Howard County right now and see how that works before we kind of roll it out system wide.
Can I ask a question here?
Yes.
Because Prince George's County on its the bus allows high school students or any student really to go on for free. And it has caused a real problem. I think I've brought this up before. It becomes a party bus and it annoys the regular passengers that are on there because they're running up and down the aisles and hooting, mm-hmm. hollering and so on. And they don't listen to the drivers. And then they use it for like short trips. Like, okay, we go two stops and then we hop off, mess around with maybe it's at a food place or something. And they hop back on and they mess around some more. Have we experienced any of that kind of activity?
So this was a few months back. There were some issues with kids at Columbia Mall. You know, large number of kids congregating in the mall, causing problems, a handful of kids, which then spurred more problems for the kids around them. And you know, a lot of them were taking our bus.
Right.
I mean, the challenges we had was that when they were leaving the mall, they all tried to crowd onto our bus, but we couldn't accommodate all of them. So the driver had to deny some of the trips to have them, you know, because they all couldn't fit on the bus. And then they, you know, became more rowdy because, you know, they couldn't ride with their friends because the bus was full. But since then, the mall has instituted a policy where I think you need it, if you're under 17, you needed a guardian to accompany. Mm. And that has seemed to resolve the issue. We haven't had anything regarding the students so far.
For them all.
Yeah. And, you know, with the free school starting a session, we haven't experienced any ruckus, I guess, with the students or kids riding it so far. So let's see. We've done a number of outreach throughout the community. So, you know, we worked a lot with the school. We, you know, Preston and Ryan has gone out to different school orientations at the beginning of the school, back to school night. We've had a RTA, you know, appreciation day that was well received. Preston just went to, I think, the ACC Drag Connection Fair to kind of expose, you know, again, more of the college students to our services. So we've done a number of outreach activities in the last quarter, as you can see there.
And you're to be commended for all of that. That is excellent outreach, and it probably resulted in greater ridership, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Preston has done a great job reaching out to the community. Yeah, he goes out and on the 505, he went out and interviewed people, riders and drivers alike. And, you know, so far it's been pretty positive, correct, right, Preston? Yeah.
He's
the man of the town. That's the way to put it. Trying to have more presence out in the community. And then
yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing real well.
That's great. Good job, Preston.
And then most recently we've had a car free day. So we have free fares this past weekend. It was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Did we get any pop in ridership, or do we know?
I don't know. It's too soon to tell. Yeah. So moving on to safety, you see two tables there. One kind of just for FY23, since we close out the year. This first quarter we've seen a spike in accidents. I feel like it comes in waves, and we're kind of on a wave right now, and not a lull. So we had 7 preventable and 8 non-preventable. In actuality, we just have, it's 8 preventable. We had 1 this past weekend, which was not good. And you see the next table, all the preventable ones, 3 of them involved another vehicle. They all were pretty minor, all seven, except for the one that just occurred this past Sunday out on Route 40 in the rain. Driver lost control of the bus and it hit a guardrail and sideswiped the guardrail and the Jersey barrier. If you're familiar with Route 40 going eastbound, you know, towards Catesville, there's a Jersey barrier and then there's a guardrail that, before you cross the bridge. So it was raining, vehicle slid, hit the side of the guardrail, bounced, hit the Jersey barrier. Both, there was a driver and passenger on board, both went to the hospital, but have since been released.
Did any of these preventables or non-preventables result in a bus being totaled or seriously?
In the preventable one, the ones that's listed there, none of them resulted with the bus being totaled. I suspect the one that occurred this past weekend will be totaled. Possibly. We have to let. I mean, I would. The adjuster will come and make that determination.
Was it a new bus?
That's my question.
Good question, Jay. Yeah. The answer is yes. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yes.
So, yeah. The non-preventables were really involving other vehicles sideswiping our bus or running into the rear of our bus.
Yeah.
And I have another question. And I'm sorry that I'm not there because I'm just interrupting here. When a bus gets severely dented or damaged, do we repair the dents or do we just say, okay, now we've got a dented bus and we'll just keep on going?
Depends on the severity of the dent. If it's, you know, very, very minor, then we don't really do much about it. But if it's a, you know, if it's a serious enough dent or more than just a dent, yes, we will get it fixed.
Who makes that call, us or First Transit?
Us. So that concludes my quarterly report.
Excellent. Any questions on the GM's report?
Jay? Yeah, I have just one more, and it's really not on the report, but it was something that came up at the last meeting. I had mentioned that WMATA is looking at all of their bus routes and so forth, and I did send their proposal to you all. Have you reached out to WMATA, or has WMATA reached out to you in any way?
Did you send it? I don't remember recall getting...
I did send it, and I don't know if I have it on file anymore. I'm starting to close down some of my city files.
Okay.
So I'll try to find it, but it's online. If you check WMATA, I think it's called the Better Bus Efficiency Network or something like that.
It's called the Better Bus Initiative. And
thank you.
So actually, yeah. Ryan's been involved with WMATA on that initiative. So he's been in conversation with them, with WMATA.
Yeah, because as I said, one of their routes, or even two of the routes, seem to duplicate what we are already doing. So I just want to be sure that we are part of the discussion.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, we are. They're going to reach back out to us with some further plans, and they've noticed that as well. So we had an initial discussion with them about a month ago, and yeah, they're going to come back with us and report out.
Okay, great.
Any other questions of Jason? Anybody? All right, excellent report. Sean, would you like to give us a summary on how we did in FY23?
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. First, I'll go through revenue and then expenses and then look at how that impacted the RTA's bottom line. It's sort of new. There were deltas in there, give you a reason for those delta. For total revenue, FY23 was $736,000. We budgeted $842,000.
Excuse me.
It was a delta of $105,000. A majority of that, $100,000, was fixed route. And paratransit was down $20,000 or 8%. Paratransit. We had two fare-free months that weren't included in the budget, so I explained that. Fixed route, we overestimated. I think we were putting the other FY23 budget with regards to fares. Non-fare revenue was of about 16,000 compared to the budget, and that was advertising revenue came in ahead of budget. Any questions on it?
Yeah, the depreciation expense, is that for the facility?
Yeah, well, that's the depreciation is, there's some vehicles in there, there's
vehicles,
furniture, yeah, any asset we have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just the buses.
Mm-hmm.
So how did we come in expense wise 2.2 million less?
I will tell you that was my next.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, so that was revenue for expenses. We came at 17.1 million, budgeted 19.3, delta 2.2 million. Majority, there were three main categories for that. The first, personnel expenses. $922,000 below budget. That was to be expected. The way, you know, hiring is not easy. Gabrielle and her team were trending in the right direction at this point, but for FY23,
it was that due to unfilled positions.
So that's, but we are trending in the right direction there, and I've seen that through July and August in our financials. Fuel expense was $813,000 less than budgeted. If you'll recall, when we did FY23 budget, fuel was through the roof. We based this on the U.S. Energy Information Administration's guidance. So at the time, that was our best guess. Fortunately, fuel was a lot less than anticipated for our personal pockets as well. It's nice. But so it's $813,000. And then there's the last category was maintenance repairs. Came in at under $612,000. Some of that had to do with the new buses we got late spring. A lot of it is with electric vehicles. We budget a certain amount for batteries. The batteries fail, they're a major cost. So that's that delta for maintenance expenses.
So we're building a replacement fund. Are we building money to replace the batteries? We just take that hit whenever it comes.
So those are three main categories and expenses or why we came under budget. Any questions?
Any questions of anybody? Anybody? Zooming in, any questions? No question.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Ryan's going to give us our rider council update. I have not seen the minutes myself. Did we hand those out? I didn't.
No, I did not.
No. Well, here's the thing. Our last meeting, we had notes, particularly no minutes. I'm sorry, I should have printed those out for everybody.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm just want to make sure I wasn't.
No. Yeah. You're fine. Yeah. So our last meeting, September 14th, we did not meet quorum, but we did hold a meeting, and we have some notes from that meeting. And pretty much what happened is our chair and our vice chair both had to step down because of employment. Which is a good thing, right? They have a great new job, so congratulate them on their new employment endeavors. But because of the time constraints, they were unable to commit to being chair and vice chair. But they're still active members of the RAC. Our last meeting, we didn't have great attendance; just one member attended, and another member had a technical issue trying to get on, and so I'll work with that person on that the next time. But we discussed, pretty much how we're going to move forward with the RAC. I told them what we want to do is try to look at how we can market the RAC a little bit more.
Yeah.
Some of the current riders. I've worked with Preston on trying to advertise a little bit heavier with the RAC, that we can grow our membership from about 5 and maybe double that by the end of the year or into next year. I gave updates on the 405 and the 505, gave updates on the annunciators. Will was very gracious in coming through from KFH to give us an update on the TDP. Of course, our council was very invested in that, so they had fantastic questions and worked a great job at answering them.
And you know, our next meeting is scheduled for November. Between now and then, I will probably sit in as chair of the RAC until we really come together as a. I'll work with the RTA ourselves there and figure out how we want to approach the RAC moving forward. And start with marketing, so make sure that we market it out to individuals, and that we're able to make this a healthy council to get the feedback and make it efficient and effective. Excuse me. So that's all I have for the update for the RAC.
Yeah, I would just like to emphasize and encourage all your efforts. That feedback's very important. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for, forget the gentleman's name that took over the chair.
Larry.
Larry. Good for Larry.
Yeah.
Larry and Jorge both, they were really excellent.
Yes.
Up to the plate.
Yeah.
But, you know, life called and they took the positions, and I'm happy for them both for being up on jobs.
Awesome. Any question about the RAC? Anybody? All right, Will's up next. Jason, you want to give us a little overview of where we are in the TD plea before he gives us an update?
Yeah. Just kind of everybody. So, you know, we went through a number of, KFH proposed a number of service options and service alternatives after they've done the assessment and the needs assessments and the demographics. They came and developed a number of alternatives. We went through those alternatives. They flushed them out a little more based on our input. And now they are in the process of developing an implementation plan and a final draft with our input. And today he's going to present that for the first time to the group, the draft recommendation.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you. So yeah, just bear with me for a moment. I'm going to share my screen. Pull up the presentation. Okay. So yeah, today I've really put together kind of an executive summary overview of the TDP. So I'm really just kind of planning to hit the highlights, but there's definitely a ton of detail in the actual document itself. So really just scratching the surface here. Looks like I'm frozen. Let's see, can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's just my computer isn't cooperating.
While he's doing that, we present the plan. What's the process for the formal approval of the plan?
So once the plan is done, it gets there's a resolution. Mm-hmm. That's put in front of the council.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To approve the plan.
Got it.
I'm so sorry. My computer's just totally locked up on me. I think I'm going to have to do a restart. I fear. Let me see if I can unlock it. No, not responsive at all.
So this goes to the county council for approval, and they're all up for election next year, correct?
I think the majority. I don't know.
We'll have this all done here sooner than later.
Correct.
Good.
Yes. Good. Yes.
Just buying you some time. Right?
while we're waiting, is the next meeting going to be December 12th?
Yes, the next meeting will be December 12th.
This is why she's the co-chair.
No, it's that I'm going to have to sign off in about a couple of minutes.
Some things are better left unsaid. Is everybody good with the 12th?
That's right.
Yeah. Getting close to the holidays.
Goes quick. Right. Comes fast.
Amazing.
The summer's already over.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Anything you want to say about the TDP as we're waiting, you know, any kind of wisdom or anything like that? Or is this something he can send us and we can look at, weigh in, or he can talk us? If he can't get his computer to cooperate, we can kind of talk through.
Highlights
of it.
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, he can talk through some of the highlights, and then I can elaborate more on it if necessary.
If he can't get it unfrozen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a 5-year short range plan.
Okay.
So, you know, we're not looking for stuff that's, you know, 10, 15, 20 right. years out.
Right.
A lot of the recommendations and the improvements really is around streamlining some of our routes, making connections, say, to the airport, providing more direct connection to Elkridge. You know, right now Elkridge has to connect down in along Route 1 to get over to Columbia. So their recommendations really.
That's about the fastest way, unless you take Montgomery or 100 or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So does this feed in and become part of the general plan, the TDP?
Not part of it. It's a separate plan, but it's a good thing that they're sort of like looking at them both at the same time because it's helpful to have an idea.
Did we admit him?
I think he was checking off to start up and then coming back.
Maybe. Yeah, his thing was that he was waiting to be admitted.
Yeah.
But it went off.
It went off.
Did you find, is there somewhere in the waiting room? Is there a waiting room? Or did he just get off again?
I think it's in.
Yeah.
Right there?
Logged off.
I can make copies if we have a copy of it.
I don't know. Did he send you one?
No, he didn't send it. Mm-hmm.
I might have a copy from the rack because I think it's the same presentation.
That was. It might be the same presentation. I'm not sure. It might have changed. Some changes to this one.
Yeah.
There was some changes to this one.
Back in. Any other issues or anything else we need to discuss? We have this collected brain for us together.
Yeah, he's good, but he's not even on right now.
I know, but he comes back, isn't he?
Yeah,
I do just talk about the main talk point.
Yeah, that's what I
do. Yeah, talk about the main talk points. Like the,
I'm actually,
someone shoot him a message and talk through it.
Contact stuff on my phone.
I apologize, folks, but I'm going to have to leave. So happy Halloween, happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you in December. Bye bye.
See you, Jay. Thank you.
Texting.
He's probably a little frazzled right now.
Probably.
I hate your feeling.
Yeah.
Really? Right, Will, where are you?
Yeah.
I hope you guys are never counting on me sharing a screen because you will be in trouble.
There he is, the video.
Will, can you hear us?
No, he's not even on.
We just
look at you, Ron. I'm impressed.
Cutting edge of technology.
He's joining.
Yeah, she's gonna probably got your text. Yeah. Just give him some direction, Jason.
All right, I made it back. Sorry.
Back, Will.
Hey, Will, if you can't get it low, we're okay with just, if you want to talk to
give us a verbal summary and yeah. We can look at the TDP. You can send it out to us.
Absolutely. I think that's probably a good idea just in case, because my computer is going a little bit haywire right now. So I'll get that ironed out later.
Give us a summary of what you think we should know.
Sure, absolutely. So today I really kind of planned to give you guys kind of an executive summary overview, but I do think that everyone has been more or less informed along the process. We have had the opportunity to meet, throughout and kind of keep you updated. We had a very robust community outreach piece of the TDP. We really learned a lot about the service and where people would like to go. So really some of the key destinations that we've targeted for improvements or new services have been expanding options to the BWI airport area, for example, also reaching the major metropolitan areas of DC and Baltimore, making connections to their rail stations. Also heard a lot about going to Fort Meade as well as NSA for employment, as well as reaching Maple Lawn, which really has the applied physics lab. And that really, I think in our full analysis of existing conditions, that really was the prime area that does not currently have transit service that really would benefit for one. But those are really the key takeaways that we really kind of focused on in the improvement or alternative process. So of course, the TDP alternatives themselves, there is a chapter in the document that is dedicated to those. And they're really meant to be concepts for administrative capital and operational improvements. So they're really looking to address local initiatives, the desires we heard during the outreach, as well as the long-range visions of the participating jurisdictions. None of these are commitments, but really conceptual ideas. Based on our really comprehensive review of alternatives, we definitely took a very detailed look and went through several things. We've identified several that we're hoping to implement over the next few years of the TDP. And I have the list here for example, in fiscal year 24, which we're currently in, we have the expansion to Catonsville, which is the Route 505. So that was something that we heard in community outreach that was a need, and it was already being worked on and it has been addressed. So that really is just a success story that's already come out of the TDP very early on. Looking ahead to next year, the latter half of FY24, we have proposed extending Route 409 to Lansdowne, which RTA is currently in the process of planning and working on as well. So moves are being made.
One into Baltimore County.
Okay,
yeah. And then looking ahead to FY25, we have one new route that is proposed that would connect Columbia to the Howard County Board of Education. So this really has been a strong local priority for the county. And we also heard during the community outreach process that there are evening and night classes there where individuals really can't get to them because there's no transit service that currently operates.
Well, they're it's a whole complex. So what's also there is Homewood School.
Yeah, I know Homewood School.
Right.
Yeah,
so there's that. Right. So not necessarily just to the school board.
So they're still on the way, right? Sorry, Will.
Oh, no problem. It's good to get ask the questions. So, and to kind of keep this in your memory, think of that as a phase one improvement, the Columbia to the Homewood campus in 25. So thinking about FY26. We have two improvements that are proposed. The first one is extending Route 501 to the BWI area. Now we've left it open-ended. If that goes to the train station, the light rail, the passenger terminal, that can kind of be decided. But this, again, was the top request that we heard during community outreach was providing that direct connection. The second improvement we have planned for FY26 is a new direct service that connects Columbia to Elk Ridge. So this would eliminate the need for transfers, And also would provide an easy transfer for individuals that want to take that 409, which has been extended up to Lansdowne. So really providing more of a network connectivity. In the TDP, we've also accounted for the Flash BRT extension, where the blue line will be, or is planned to be extended to Columbia in FY 2026.
It's 29?
Yeah,
29. Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. I'm just trying to picture it in my mind.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sorry for the lack of visuals. The
county's brought it up to...
They brought it up to
Burtonville. White Oak, right? Burtonville?
Okay. It was to Burtonville, yeah.
And then for the fourth year, for FY27, we have one new route that is proposed, which will link either Columbia or Laurel to Fort Meade NSA. We really couldn't kind of pick whether or not the connection would be best between the Laurel Transit Center or the Columbia Transit Center, as there really were strong needs from both locations. So we've outlined several alternatives and potential routing options.
I'm sure we know how Robert and Michael are going to live on that.
Got that right.
So and you included Fort Meade.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're looking at year four, FY27, for introducing that new service. And again, you can get there currently, but it does take a transfer or two. So this would be a direct connection. And then thinking back to the Columbia to the Homewood campus phase one route, in FY27, we've also proposed a phase two to extend that route beyond the Homewood campus to Clarksville.
Coming down 108?
Yeah, 108, yes, to hit Clarksville.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes total sense.
And then for the fifth and final year of the TDP, which is FY28, we have two new proposals. One is a new route, or actually, excuse me, this is a route extension from Laurel to Bowie. I believe it is the 302 that we were looking at proposing extending. This would provide a connection to Metro bus service as well as the MARC rail line next to Bowie State University.
Yeah. That just come down 197, basically?
Exactly.
A lot of this is bringing back
CTC days.
And then the final recommendation we have is a new route between Columbia and Maple Lawn. So we do have the Flash BRT extension, which is, you know, planning to come online in the future, which will be a similar type of service, but that is only going to operate during peak commuter hours. So this service would provide that all day local connection between Columbia and Maple Lawn, also serving APL. And that really is the five-year transit plan in a nutshell. Again, I barely scratched the surface here. There's a lot more details in the TDP itself, so hopefully you all will get a chance to review that in the near future. But again, apologies for the lack of graphics.
That's fine. When do we expect it to be ratified by the how is it ratified by just the council? Howard County Council?
Just the council, correct. The Howard County Council.
Yeah. Right.
Perhaps November.
Okay. All right. Good. Is there anything else you would like to add? Any questions of the presentation? And we'll get a copy of that so everybody can, we'll get it out to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before I adjourn, I want to thank everyone. And is there anybody from our group, zooming in or looking in, or anybody here have any questions, comments, anything to get of the order? Hearing none, I make a motion to adjourn. Looking for a motion to adjourn. So Ron has second. Michael has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
We'll adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Cool. Staff and everyone, good luck with your new venture. Thank you. We're sad to see you go.
Yes,
we are sad to see you go. Someone's got to keep these guys on your.
What do you mean?